Hello, I'm Elizabeth, an obsessive backyard gardener who might be able to offer you a couple of tips.
And I'm Keith, a landscape consultant, and I'm also passionate about gardening.
The one thing we both have in common is muddy boots. It's an exciting time in the garden with winter coming to a close. How lovely is it to see the blossom appearing on the trees and our plants slowly waking up. Before we know it, our gardens will be bursting with life. And that means it's time to bring our gloves and tools out of hibernation, if they've been there, as well. There's work to be done, Keith. Planting, fertilising, weed and pest control. Where do we start, Keith? I'm fairly sure I know what you're going to say too. You're going to say something about compost.
Compost.
Okay, absolutely. Start with compost.
So this is the beginning of the new life for all these plants. They're now waking up. And we want to make sure that we had fed them earlier, you know, earlier in the year, so they got something to suck into themselves while they went into their dormancy.
While they were sleeping, yes.
Yep. And then now that there is, as they're waking up, they've got something there for them to suck into them as they come back to life. Yeah.
Yes.
So compost, and you can't overdo compost, as far as I'm concerned.
Should we have done it already? Is that what you're saying?
I mean, there's
always a good time.
There's the best time to put compost down is now.
Right now.
Right now.
Get out there and get onto Vince & Clyde compost. So,
exactly.
If you haven't got your own. Okay.
So compost now, go around and make sure you're spreading compost around all your plants. Now, if you've got vegetables, it's very important that you're spreading that over the whole vegetable bed. If you've got ornamental trees or flowering plants or fruiting trees, whatever else, it's very important that you add the compost around those plants drip line. Don't chuck it up against the trunk of the tree.
Yes.
Move it out and put it around.
Get your hoe out and spread it around. Okay.
And make sure that gets a good chance to be watered in.
Okay.
Don't let it dry out.
No. Now, everything needs to be fertilised in early spring as the growth of plants is speeding up again as well.
Yep.
Fertilizer is very important. What do you suggest?
It
varies.
Anything that's organic, that you know, that comes from a reputable company. So any of the Nutrog products, you can go and have a look at. They've now broken their range of products up into various specific lines.
Great.
You know, so they've got citrus food and they've got vegetable food and
roses.
Fruit trees and roses and all these sorts of things. So they're very, very specific.
That makes it easy.
It does. So it's a good time to be putting that out around the drip line of the plants.
The drip line,
drip
everybody.
Line.
Don't forget.
No.
The drip line inwards or just the drip line?
No.
Drip line and then give it a mix.
Give it a bit of a tickle into the soil.
Okay.
You know, and then it'll attract all the microbes and everything else.
And if that drip line involves grass, then you should perhaps get your
big broad fork.
Broad fork out and put a few holes in the grass
to
let it
up.
Get into the, you know, get the fertilizer down into the soil.
So if anyone's looking for a broad fork, where do they go?
They go to
FD Ryan.
God, that was great. I wasn't ready for that. Okay. Our pot plants. We also need to feed our pot plants.
We do. And depending on what sort of plants they are, if you've got citrus, for instance, growing in pots, then I would suggest you have a look at a slow-release fertiliser for those.
Okay, like?
There's a few on the market.
Okay.
But a slow-release organic, as close you get to an organic slow-release fertiliser as possible,
okay.
And that's going to be the best way of setting those particular plants up for success.
Perhaps something like Gigantic?
Yeah, you can absolutely.
Okay.
And when you're doing your pots, you don't chuck it in the middle of the pot. Mm. You put it around the outside of the pot because you're encouraging those roots to come out and feed.
Spread themselves
right round.
Okay. The spring flowering bulbs are starting to flower, which always adds beautiful colour to the garden. Should we be giving them a feed when they're popping up?
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. And the reason you do that, we feed them now because the bulbs are going to produce their flower to show everyone just how pretty they are in the ground.
Yes.
And then they're going to produce the leaves that are then going to be taking up the nutrients that's around them to produce next year's flower.
Flowers, okay.
Exactly. So that's a perfect time to be giving them something to eat.
Okay. I was going to ask, that was my next question. Do we cut back the leaves, the foliage of the bulbs, once the flowers have finished?
No, never, ever, ever, ever.
Okay.
Because I've seen people do that and then they wonder why next year they've just got leaves.
Foliage.
Yeah.
Okay. So we leave them until
they just rot back down to the ground. You can leave them. and then just go out, and if you find that unsightly, just go out there and just rake them up with your hand.
Okay, so let them fall.
Let them fall.
Let them fall, because
then
they're like the solar collectors.
Yep.
So for the next year's growth, as you said, okay. But we can deadhead the flowers,
mm-hmm.
just deadhead them and just leave the
yep.
rest. Okay, fantastic. Pest control. Spring is a very busy time for snails, aphids, whitefly, etc., especially as the bugs love that new growth.
Mm-hmm.
What do you suggest we have on hand to control any pest infestations? There are so many products on the market
confuse us. And you've got to look at those and look for the problems. So if you've got snails and slugs, then there are quite a few now organic versions of snail bait, which use a medical-grade iron to actually kill the snails and the slugs.
So we have to look for that on the
pack. So you look online. That's probably one of the best place to get that. There's a few companies that are actually carrying it, including the Diggers Club. They've got an organic certified snail bait.
Oh, good to know.
Which is terrific.
Okay.
And then if you've got things like aphids, you need then to be applying things like Eco Neem and Eco Oil and spraying those.
What is the difference, sorry to ask, but between Eco Neem and Eco Oil?
Well, one is a white oil, which just smothers the insects. So it would cover, say, scale.
Yeah.
Covers that, stops them being able to breathe.
That's the Eco Oil?
The Eco Oil.
Mm-hmm.
The Eco Neem is for a chewing insect. But if you use both of them, you're really encouraging a much better cycle of control.
Okay, so we should use that on a regularish basis.
No, you only use it as you see it.
Oh, okay.
Eco Neem, if you wanted to, you could use that on a regular basis, because that can become somewhat systemic. Now, I know a lot of people think that the price of Eco Neem is very expensive, but it is a very unique product.
Okay.
It's from the neem tree, which is a revered tree in India,
mm-hmm.
and they take the oil from the kernel of the seed from the neem tree, and they suck the neem oil out of that, and then they infuse it in sesame oil. This is the eco product. They infuse it in sesame oil, which is then 100% certified organic.
Okay.
And that's for chewing insects and sucking insects, so like aphids.
Mm.
One that you would use to control that. Caterpillars, I use Dipel, which is a bacteria that just breaks down the insides of the caterpillar.
Oh.
They starve to death.
Oh.
So Dipel is another great one.
Okay.
And there's another product called Nature Soap, which is also another good organic method for controlling all these insects. So you should never have to use any of the nasty, like Carbaryl or any of those, to control insects.
If you've got
problems with earwigs, the best thing you can do is go and roll down a little bit of newspaper in a roll where you've got a problem, and go out every morning, pick that roll up and just scrunch it up and put it into the bin. Because...
What? So you've rolled up your newspaper?
Yep, so you roll up a newspaper and you put it out at night.
Yeah.
And at night the earwigs come out, they do their horrible things, and then they go and find the newspaper, which is, you wet it a little bit, and that's the perfect environment for them to sleep in at night or sleep in during the day.
Home.
So it becomes a little home for them.
Okay.
And then you just pick it up in the morning, just scrunch it up and throw it in the bin.
Okay, and then they're gone.
And then they're gone, finished.
Okay. Plant enclosures are also good. Tunnels are fabulous. All those sort of things, the covers are fabulous pest deterrents.
For deterring
to
things.
Stop them.
One of the problems you have with those sorts of things is if you're going to be growing things like capsicums, you need to have that open so the bees can actually come and pollinate the flowers.
Oh, yeah, right, true, okay. Yeah,
so
yeah.
Make sure that you're only covering what doesn't need to be pollinated. So things like lettuce, broccoli, these sorts of things you don't need. So just do a little bit of homework on
you don't need to worry. You can cover your broccoli.
Exactly.
Yes, that's fine. Okay. Now, this is the time to spray peach and nectarine trees, isn't it, to prevent leaf curl?
Leaf curl. I've had a couple of shocking years with leaf curl on some of my plants, and I'm going to be doing something a little bit different this year.
Oh.
I'm going to be going down to Bunnings and buying myself a bag of hydrated lime,
right?
Which is builder's lime.
Okay.
And I'm going to be making up a paste. Mm. And I'm going to be painting
doing
all
some
my trees with hydrated lime this
year. Oh, God, that'll keep you busy.
And that's going to coat them and stop the fungal spores that are inside underneath the bark. And then I'll be spraying with a copper-based fungicide to prevent the leaf curl. I'll do a spray, and then I'll do a continual spray right up until the pink bud stage.
Oh, gosh.
After the pink bud stage, you don't spray.
Okay. Well, I don't have any of those trees, so I'm not going to be out there with a paintbrush, thankfully. But anyway, I will watch you interestingly. I'm sure it'll be on Instagram.
It will.
What about citrus trees? This is a good time to look out for pests. I know you said that the citrus in the pots obviously need to be fed, but there are also a number of diseases,
yeah,
or pests, I should say, that like citrus gall wasp and leaf miner. So we should be watching out for,
yeah,
those as well.
So the thing about citrus gall wasp is it is a little tiny native Australian indigenous wasp that we're the only country in the world that has this problem with gall wasp.
Mm.
And it came from our finger limes, our little native citrus,
yeah,
and then just went through the whole industry.
Mm.
And a citrus gall wasp actually pupates out through the bark from where it's been living, and it climbs up about 2 or 3 mil further up the stem, and mates, and then burrows its eggs in underneath that.
Mm.
So it's continually moving up, which where the new growth is.
Yep.
So a good thing to be doing at this time of the year, in early spring, is actually giving your citrus a prune.
Uh-huh.
So cut all the new growth off.
Okay.
And shape it back. And then collect that new growth, rake it up into a bag and into the bin.
Especially when you this is when you see the lumps, those citrus gall wasp lumps.
I mean, that's what I'd be doing anyway.
Oh, you're putting all your citrus...
Because the gall wasp has moved up into the new stuff,
yeah,
and we're
going
to cut that off.
So
we're going to collect that and put it in the bin.
Okay, put it in the bin. Okay, well, that's easy because I need to do that after fruiting. Well, mine are fruiting now,
pretty much, and
it's definitely in need of a prune, so I'll wait till I get the fruit off the tree.
You can actually pick the fruit, pick your fruit off.
Take it off.
And prune it now.
In early spring, yep, that's right.
We don't need to worry about getting into summer.
Okay. All right. Many of us would have made the most of the downtime during winter by putting some new plants in. I put a few in. I'm sure you have too. Giving them time to become established before spring. But it's still a great time for planting with all the moisture that's still in the air, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yep. Good time for flowering annuals as the weather is warming up, wouldn't you say?
Yep.
I've got to get that... my new raised bed going with some flowering annuals. Got any suggestions on what you'd put in?
No, I'm not a big annual fan.
Well, come on, quickly. No.
Well, poppies and things like that would look superb.
Okay, well, that's one thing.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, we'll move on because he's useless with that one. It's always fun to divide existing plants to be replanted around the garden.
Mm-hmm.
What plants can be divided and transplanted at this time of the year? Can you think of any of those, or do you want me to come up with one as well?
No, you come up with a whole lot.
Okay.
This is your baby. You love this sort of thing.
Yeah, but you're the professional. Orchids.
Yeah.
You can divide
those. And get rid of the old back bulbs.
Now, ornamental grasses, you have to admit that you're a bit of a fan of those.
I love them.
There you go. Come on.
So
you can divide them up quite.
This is the time that you can go with a nice sharp spade and cut through them. So ornamental grasses.
You've cut them right back by now,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's right.
To the ground almost.
They've been cut right back down to ground level, and I've used the material that I've cut as a mulch, because it makes a fantastic mulch.
So you just let them
drop? Yeah, so just put that on the ground.
Mm.
And then with a really, really sharp spade, I mean, you need a really sharp spade to cut through these grasses once they've been in the ground for about 3 or 4 years. But you then cut, you can just go straight down and then divide those grasses up into as many, little babes as you want, and give them away, replant them, do whatever
fantastic.
You like.
Fantastic. Spread them around.
Yep, spread them around.
How do you pronounce Pieto Duf? How do you pronounce his name?
Piet Uthoff.
Piet Uthoff does. He's obviously done that with all his beautiful grasses. Okay. Now, the vegetable garden requires a lot of attention at this time of the year, doesn't it?
It does.
You'll be harvesting your winter vegetables and preparing for your tomatoes, or am I wrong?
They'll be all... The tomatoes are all coming along really, really nicely. They're all still in pots.
Right.
We're waiting for much later spring before we start worrying about planting of those.
So they stay in the pots
in the pots, and then we'll finish off whatever we've got in the veggie bed, and we'll make sure that we've got probably a 3 to 4 week window of incorporating new compost, new Clyde compost into those beds
yep.
and giving them a chance to rest before we're adding all those microbial supplements like Wormwee or go-go juice if you don't have any of that.
Yes,
all that sort of stuff.
Right, okay,
and building up that soil microbe and flora and fauna.
And then plant,
And then they'll be planted.
So it'll be what, late spring?
Late spring, yeah.
Okay, okay. What else are you planning on planting this spring? Have you got some
lots and lots of lettuce, because at $13 a lettuce,
we all know about that.
We've got a fortune down there. We're going to put bigger fences up, I think, to keep the neighbours out.
This is where you get that landscaping. You know, your nature strip garden going and fill it with lettuce, but they wouldn't last. People would steal them. No, they wouldn't, because people are lovely, aren't they?
They are.
It's also a great time to plant a herb garden too. Mint, oregano, parsley, they can all be planted now. I love a herb garden, and especially if it's right near the front door, near the kitchen,
where you can just walk out
and just pick what
you want,
it off,
bring it in,
and cook something
bouquet
divine.
Garni.
Get your husband to do that, because he's the cook.
Yeah, so this is the time for doing that, because the most of these herbs are actually, you know, they're perennials, and this is their time for them to be doing their full bit. Except parsley, of course. Parsley's only an annual. But if you've got parsley in the garden like we have, along with rocket, arugula, we've got it everywhere.
Oh, well, that's nice.
Which is terrific.
Wouldn't mind that.
You walk out there and just browse.
Oh, and eat. Just have a bit of a chew. I love that arugula. That's delicious. What about our lawns? Is it time to fertilise?
Okay, so this is a very important job to be considering right now. I had my lawn during the winter with a big feed in late autumn. I gave my lawns a real big feed, and I used a pelletized Charlie Carp to feed my lawns.
Yes.
And then I got my lawnmower and I lifted it up to the highest possible setting, and I kept that at the highest possible setting
throughout
winter.
Yep.
Now, I've probably only cut the grass twice during the winter period, but the grass remained beautiful and green. Now, I've got that grass that people find incredibly invasive, which is kikuyu.
Yep.
So it's maintained, it's green almost all the way through spring.
Oh, lovely.
Through winter, through to spring.
Yes.
So what I'm going to be doing now with my lawn, because it's a stoloniferous grass, it's a grass that grows across the surface, so things like buffalo, couch, are stoloniferous grasses. Mm. What I'm going to be doing now in early spring is I'm going to be going out with my lawnmower, and I'm going to be cranking the lawnmower down to the lowest setting.
From the highest to the lowest, yes.
To the lowest. And I'm going to absolutely hack that grass down almost to ground level.
Okay.
And then I'm going to give it a feed, once again, of an organic fertilizer. And in about 4 to 6 weeks, that grass will go berserk.
Okay, and be growing into your garden beds.
Well, no, it won't be. I'll be maintaining that. That'll be it.
You'll be chopping. Hopefully I'll do the same, see how I go. I don't know about cutting it right back to nothing, but I'm sure it'll benefit. Okay, that sounds good. The weeds. What about the weeds in the lawn? Well, hopefully there aren't any, because you've got this tough grass.
Outdone them, yeah. And then, of course, doing this method of cutting it right back, feeding it and letting it go, and then raising your mower height up to the middle of the range. That
for
grass
summer?
Will out-compete the weeds.
Any weed.
Yep, you won't have weeds.
Okay, and you keep saying that, but I still seem to find a few weeds in my garden.
Well, I'm not cutting your grass.
Well, you should be. Okay, this would be a good time also to lay new turf.
Yes, great time to be doing that.
Because there's lots of moisture in the air still.
Yep, so if you're going to be laying new turf, Bunnings have got a lot of this turf at the moment.
Yes, it's the rectangles, that's right.
By the rectangle.
Yep.
If you're going to be doing it by the rectangle, make sure you lay turf in what is called a brick style, which is a brick is an overlap. So a brick, if you just grew, put bricks all on top, one all the way up, they'd all fall down because there's no stink. So they've got to be half and half.
Okay.
So that's called a stretcher bond or a brick style pattern.
Okay.
So they're half and half.
Okay.
So if you're going to put down turf,
you
don't just lay them all in one big row, you halve it across and cut it. Yeah, and then you can use that again on the other side. So they've got to be laid in what's in that brick pattern overlap.
Okay.
Because otherwise, if you don't and you get a lot of rain, it could just wash it all, open it all out, push it all out. But because they're grown in that strengthening pattern,
they're protecting each other, sort of.
They protect each other.
Because I was going to go to Bunnings and grab some of those squares or rectangles and pop them into a few spots that are, you know, because I've got the I've been we've over the years we've been getting those from Bunnings,
yep.
and put them down, and they're gradually taking over the older grass.
Yeah.
So I was thinking about getting some more,
yep.
and just popping them down.
And that's a great way of doing it.
But is that going to be okay if it hasn't? If I haven't got one next to it?
No. This is going to be done early spring. So this is the grass that's going to be doing it. It's biggest and best work during the summer period because it's a temperate grass.
Yep.
So if you went out and bought a just one square, you can cut that up into, say, 200 by 200 mil squares and then go and put that on the ground, cut around the grass, so put it on the surface and then with a sharp knife cut around that 200 mil squares and then dig out that 200 mil you just cut and then put that 200 mil of the new grass back into it, into the place you've just taken it out.
Okay.
That make it's called.
I think that
it's
makes
called
sense.
Cookie cutting.
Cookie cutting.
Cutting.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll try and remember all that. Thank you very much. I think we've given ourselves plenty to do to keep our gardens thriving through really the most beautiful time of the year.
Just about. We've
what
missed
have we forgotten?
One most important thing.
Well, what was it?
We might have had put mulch down.
Yeah.
But we haven't. We have compost.
We haven't mulched.
We haven't mulched.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I mean, already.
So you've got to apply a mulch over your garden beds because you want to protect that soil that you've put all that hard work into.
From the heat.
From the heat and the sun and the wind and the rain and all that. So mulch all your beds.
Mulch all your beds with, there are so many different types.
So many different mulches.
So whichever people choose,
whatever
they like. My favourite
one is a fine pine bark.
Okay.
That's my favourite.
Well, I'm a bit keen on hooflung dung
that's
myself.
That's great too. Yeah,
it is
absolutely.
Good. It's got a bit of nutrition in it as well. Okay. Well, look, I think we have to stop, Keith.
We do.
No more talking. I hope that you, the listener, can get out there and enjoy your garden in the beautiful spring sunshine. Thank you for listening to Muddy Boots. For more information on today's podcast, please go to muddyboots.net.au and happy gardening.